I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new-school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Roger, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
Hello, glad to be here.
So, Roger, on February 8th, the news broke nationally that a water treatment plant in Oldsmar, Florida was hacked, and the intruder briefly increased the amount of lye used to treat water to a dangerous level at 100 times what's normal. I know you're very much in the know about this, especially since you're actually geographically quite close to Oldsmar. So do you want to start off by telling us more in depth what happened and what we know as of right now?
Yeah, sure. And actually, yeah, Mike, the county that I live in backs up to that county. Literally, that water treatment plant is less than 5 miles away. So very, oh, wow. Very topical. And so what appears to have happened, at least as best as the notes get out. First, I applaud the county, Oldsmar, for actually being very public with what happened, because this likely similar things probably happen all the time and it's not publicly told to people. So I applaud them for doing it. But apparently some type of what we think, no one knows who did it yet, but it appears to be somewhat of an amateur type hacker was able to determine that there is a remote viewing application called TeamViewer. It's an application anybody can download from the internet and use to connect to somebody else's computer. So this person, this hacker, was able to determine that TeamViewer was running on this water treatment control computer. They apparently had at least come in at least twice. Both times why it was somebody was using the computer, which you would think that, you know, so, and the person said that the mouse started being taken control and programs opening, and you would think most people go, oh my God, but this person said this computer is routinely remotely logged into by managers and other people. So this, the first time it happened near in the morning, wasn't really that disturbing to them, and then it stopped. But then as he was watching hours later, closer to lunchtime, all of a sudden it started to move again, and this time opened up a water control application and immediately increased this lye concentration. And lye is used, you know, is used to kill germs in water. They put, you know, chemicals and poisons that kill things in dirty water to turn it into clean water. But this person increased it to like, 100 times more. And the person looking at the computer immediately recognized what was going on, cut the connection, changed, and, you know, started the investigation. So that's the kind of the genesis of what occurred.
Great. And you talked about sort of the system that was used to access, but how does something like this, in addition to that, how does something like this happen? Like, I guess, a larger scale, like how would a nation state do something similar and perhaps get away with it?
Yeah, you know, interesting, and why we think this is amateur is they did it during business hours.
Okay.
And almost nobody would have done that. A nation state or somebody like that would have probably figured out, okay, here's the country's business hours that I'm attacking, and we're not going to remotely control a computer actively while it's being controlled. They would have waited till off hours so they wouldn't have been detected, or even during hours. Almost any operating system allows you to open an additional desktop, Windows, Linux, all of them. You can fairly easily, if you know what you're doing, open up this additional desktop that is invisible to the person that's currently logged on in. They could check for it, but most people wouldn't. So that person could have done the exact same actions and they wouldn't have been detected by the active person. So that's why we think it was kind of amateur for a lot of reasons. But whether you're a nation state or an amateur, what you kind of do most of the time is you can port scan, looking for different advertising TCP and UDP ports. So, you know, any remote control application is going to, we say, advertise itself out on the internet, but basically you can do a port scan and find a particular port. Like the most common remote control program that's abused is Remote Desktop Protocol by Microsoft, and it's always on port 3389 by default. You can change that, and when I use it, I change it. So people, you know, an attacker scanning a computer TCP IP port list, if they found 3389, like, oh, RDP is there. And then you can start to do the things that would work against RDP. Well, TeamViewer has its default port as well. And on top of that, there's services like Shodan, which is a website anybody can go to. You can pay a fairly inexpensive monthly subscription and literally put in any port number, any type of exploit, And it will literally come back and tell you every publicly accessible computer that's running that port or that application or has that vulnerability. So it's fairly easy to find out what's being advertised out on the internet. And I guess that was the surprising part, was you're like, this was not like an unknown type of attack. This is something we've been writing about for two decades and extensively writing about for at least a decade about, hey, we have to be worried about these industrial control systems, ICS systems, and them being controlled. And, you know, every regulation that controls an industrial control system, ICS, will tell you, you don't allow your software, remote control software, to be freely accessible on the internet, especially unpassword protected, or the, it could have been password protected, but it was used by a common password that had been discovered or some other means. But if the person was following the compliance regulations, it's unlikely that that computer would have been so easily accessible across the internet. With that said, I bet there's 10,000 other water plants in the US alone that have the same problem. I mean, that's Oldsmar, everybody's rightly saying this was a terrible security problem that this was allowed to happen. And agreed, but it's not unusual in the least. It's probably actually fairly common, especially in, you know, in less sophisticated water plants with less resources and more people doing double duties and things like that. The scary part is that it probably is far more widespread than we know about. We don't hear about it. Or like every time you hear a bank, if you hear like so-and-so bank got compromised or 100 million records got stolen by somewhere, my initial reaction always is, well, that's the one making the news, but there probably are tens of millions of other banks that are compromised too. Yeah. Anytime you hear about some big hack, it isn't just that person. There's a million other hacks the same, and that's just the one we're hearing about.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask, you know, is this, it's in our national news, even folks who aren't in our industry are reading about it. Is this something that folks should be worried about? And then you also touched upon ICS, industrial control systems. Like, it's not just water, right? So what should folks be worried about? But then also, what other systems could be impacted by something similar?
Yeah, so it's absolutely, not only should we be worried about it, we have been worried about it for decades. Anybody that works in industrial control systems, which that includes plant infrastructure, you know, water, heat, fuel, natural gas, windmills, nuclear power, and all sorts of, even other ICS industrial control systems, that would be like manufacturing plants. It's a very big concern and has been for a long, long time. Almost every computer security conference I've gone to for many, many years has included at least one or two talks on industrial control systems and how to hack them. And what's interesting about this one is just that we learned about it. We've been worried about it forever. I think this will be one of those things that it's repeated and talked about for years. But again, I applaud the, you know, Oldsmar sheriffs for actually publicly revealing it, because I assure you it happens all the time. I assure you that there are plenty of power plants, water plants around the country that are remotely accessible in the same way, probably with hackers and even nation states able to access it. We know for sure that these have happened in the past. There's still, it's a very difficult problem to defeat, because, you know, I'll be lucky if I don't have that problem at my house, right? I got like 10 computers. I'll be lucky if one of them isn't exposed to the internet with some remotely accessible thing. And I think I do a really good job at computer security, but it's really tough to be perfect. And it's really easy for this sort of weakness in the system, because there's a structural problem in the internet, and that the internet is a very unsafe place to be. It's full of malware. A large percentage of the traffic is purely malicious. Most of the email is malicious. Lots of the data is malicious. And yet we're putting mission critical infrastructures on the internet, like this water treatment plant. But I mean, it's things like the 911 system, right? Yeah. I mean, like everybody's like, it used to be that you would pay for this high-end data line, right? For my 9/11 system, we would buy frame relay networks and stuff point to point, and to be tougher to break into. But everybody's like, well, why would I pay all that money if I can just piggyback on the internet? And what's happened over the last couple of decades is that we've taken every year, we put more and more mission critical systems on the internet to the point to almost everything is, and the internet is as dangerous as ever. And so it's this kind of competing thing of there's definitely a very dangerous thing of having all these mission critical infrastructure things on the internet. Why it's still, the internet is a very dangerous, unregulated, wild, wild west place. One day, for sure, it will be safer, significantly safer, but that's not the case today. And we shouldn't be putting mission critical systems on it. But you can't stop progress. You can't stop people from cutting corners and saving. If it's going to save a company money, they're probably going to do it, even if it increases the risk. And that's the sad part.
Right. And speaking of the internet being a dangerous place, and I was curious if, you know, we talk about how the systems were, you know, they allowed someone to get in and kind of take a peek around. But could social engineering play a role in a hack of this nature as well?
Yeah, you know, we still don't know how the hacker got in, whether it was something where he just came across the port. Mm-hmm. Was he already in? There's a good chance he was already in the company. Most malware programs, like ransomware and stuff like that, are in companies up to 8 months to a year or longer without detection. It's not abnormal for a hacker or malware to be in an enterprise for months to years undetected. And the vast majority of time, the malicious thing that's happening is actually detected by an outsider, by another company that's being used in the hack, or by law enforcement. You know, if you look at the Verizon data breach reports every year, the vast majority of breaches are not noticed by the person that's actually breached. And the vast majority of breaches occur because of social engineering and phishing. You know, the stats vary by report, by survey, from what you'll see from like 40% to 90%, whatever the true figure is. Social engineering and phishing is responsible easily by a long shot for the vast majority of successful data breaches, followed by unpatched software, followed by the third thing changes time to time. But social engineering and unpatched software have been the number one, number two ways that people get compromised for almost every year of the 35 years I've been in computer security. So even if this water plant incident was just this hacker discovering this port on the internet, like we think, you still need to, any entity needs to fight social engineering and phishing as their number one threat, because it is responsible for the vast majority of data breaches, and some one-off attack should not distract you from focusing on what is the most likely risk, which is social engineering, phishing, followed by unpatched software.
Great. And you have applauded the county for how they handled the situation. And there has been, in addition to what happened, there has been a lot of coverage that's called County Sheriff Gualtieri's conference remarkably clear-headed and fact-filled. So why was this delivery so impressive? And how should we continue addressing hacks like this as they inevitably continue?
Yeah, you know, he was so transparent and honest that a lot of observers thought that he was overly transparent and shouldn't have been, right? There's a lot of business leaders that said they would have handled it differently and not been as transparent. Most people, most cities and companies probably would have tried their best never to let it leak out at all. But he was like, hey, I want to let you know what's going on, and that way other companies and nearby companies can take care of it. That's one of the long ongoing problems, is that in the hacker community, they're sharing who they break into and how they break in. There's all these forums, you know, like if you're a credit card criminal, there is all these forms where you can talk techniques and about what works and what isn't working. But on the defender's side, we're so hesitant to share our stories that we isolate and we don't share what's learned, you know, and that is, let me say, been a problem for decades. And there have been many, many attempts to have these, you know, interagency consortiums in different places, like with the industrial control systems and stuff. Let's share our stories about what happened and what we found and what we did. Because I got to tell you, you know, the old smart water treatment plant, again, I don't think it's unique. What was unique is that they were transparent and sharing it. And I bet you a whole lot of places, water treatment plants and other control systems, woke up that day and said, do we have TeamViewer? You know, is it accessible from the internet? And so we need for sure more defenders sharing their stories, so that we don't feel, we need to take away the stigma of being successfully hacked, because it's almost like, I don't know, maybe you could compare it to a venereal disease or something where people are so, you know, we want to hide it and not tell people about it. And that doesn't allow us to address the problem. The more transparent we are with these sort of defects and things, the better chance all of us are going to be able to go, oh, I have that problem. You know, like I always tell people, before you start saying that Oldsmar had really bad computer security, make sure you have perfect security, because you probably don't. And so use it. It should be a wake-up call for you to relook at your infrastructure, see if you have similar things, and to tighten it down. You know, Oldsmar, by being transparent, you know, really, I think they provided a very valuable service to the world.
Completely agree. And Roger, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for weighing in on this issue. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with you the next time.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about our sponsor, KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com, and you can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.